I would like for you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, if you're able to. And we'll look in the book of 2 Kings. We'll be in chapter 5. Chapter 5. I'm going to give you a moment to get there. 2 Kings in chapter 5. We're looking at Elijah and we're looking at Naaman. And we're going to preach this morning, if we can, on resisting God. From 2 Kings chapter 5, I'm going to read, if the Lord will allow me to, from verse 9 through verse 14. 2 Kings chapter 5, from verse 9 through verse 14. You found your places, I can see, as you're risen for the reading of the Word of God. So we'll read here together, beginning in verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Lord Jesus, this morning we thank you for giving us this opportunity to gather. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we ask you now that you would apply it to our hearts, O Lord, through the Holy Ghost, Lord, that we might have a spiritual understanding of those things, Lord, that are directed to our spirit. That we might understand better, Lord, how to serve you, how to trust you, Lord Jesus, and how to walk in this world. Lord, we need your help. We need it in all things. And we ask you for it this morning. Please move freely about the pews and in the pulpit and help us all, Lord Jesus. We pray this morning. We ask this, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. You may be seated. I said Elijah. I meant Elisha. I hope you'll pardon me for that. But I would preach to you this morning, not very much of Elisha himself, but more of Naaman. And when I first looked at this, this is often preached concerning the miracle itself. And it's the type of salvation it is. And we spoke of that. We were speaking of baptism earlier in the testimonies. And this is a picture of baptism. The early rituals of baptism, a person went in and they weren't touched by the person conducting the ceremony, but they themselves went in and dipped. If they were touched by the preacher, if you will, it would have been considered ritually unclean. Now, that's not the way we do it anymore. But you see this here with Naaman. He went in himself and dipped, 7 times being the perfect number. But I'm not really here to preach this morning about the baptism that Naaman went through. And I'm not here to preach even about the miracle itself. Though we see it as a type of salvation in the fact that leprosy is a type of sin. And he was cured of that incurable disease of sin. But rather, I want to deal with Naaman's resistance to God. And you say, that's not a very encouraging topic. Well, I'm preaching it for a reason. I'm preaching it because I see this and sometimes in me, and that means, I've already told you, you're not any better than me, and if I see it wrong in me, then I'm going to preach it as if it's wrong in you. And maybe it'll help you out like it helps me out. I believe that we have a problem with this, even children of God, in that we resist God. We resist what He would do for us. We resist what He directs us to do. We resist Him enough to deny ourselves of the very things He would do for us. Had Naaman continued in his resistance, he would not have been healed. Now that's pretty plain. And so I want to look at the nature of his resistance. And maybe if we see the foolishness of Naaman's resistance, we can understand the foolishness of our own resistance to what God would do in our lives. Are you with me this morning? And so I look at Naaman, beginning there in verse 11, when it says, But Naaman was wroth. That means he was mad. That means he was angry. He wasn't happy. He didn't like what was told him. It says, and he went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me." And the first thing I see on his resistance is that he resisted the humility that God insists upon. And if we're to have help from God, and if we're to have what God would have for us, if we're to have His order in our disorderly life, if we're to have His healing on our unhealthy bodies, if we're to have peace in our chaotic households, if we're going to have what God would have for us and what we say we want from Him, because don't we pray for these things? Don't we pray for His peace? Don't we pray for Him to heal us? Don't we pray for Him to guide us and direct us? If we're going to have these things then that we say we pray for, because didn't Naaman take this journey all the way here because he said he wanted to be healed? But still, when he got to that point, he wasn't going to have it. And I think we bow up and resist God sometimes when we're all the way to the point of having what God would have for us. Amen. The very first thing he resisted is he resisted the humility that God insists upon. You see that he had come, it says he stood at the door of the house of Elisha in verse 9. He had went through the show of having the humility, presenting himself before this prophet of God. And it's easy to go through the show of having humility. It's easy to stand and say, "I'd like the church to pray for me." It's easy for us to put our names on the prayer list. It's easy for us to tell our friends, "Y'all pray for me," and going through the show of having humility, of saying, "I know I can't have any help unless God helps me." Now, all of that's true. It's true that we can't have any help without God. And it's good to put our names and ourselves before the church to be prayed for. It's good. But if it's just a show, it's not going to work. Because when Elisha told him what to do, he was mad because look what he said. He said, "I thought he will surely come out to me and stand." See, he wasn't happy with the man of God because he didn't make a fuss over him. And he didn't do everything. He didn't come out and make Naaman feel special. Isn't that just like a bunch of us sometimes? He didn't come and make a fuss over me. He didn't come and make a big ceremony out of everything. He didn't do it right. He told me to go pray. I came to him to pray, and he told me to go pray. He wouldn't have nothing to do with me. Why didn't he call me out like everybody else does and come and lay hands on me and anoint me with oil and do everything that he was supposed to do? See, Naaman didn't want to humble himself to the way God said do it. And if there's one pride that's universal to man, one sin that's universal to man is pride. Pride's behind every sin there is. Wanting to do it our way. Wanting everything to go our way. Wanting to do everything to go the way that we think it's supposed to go. Do y'all remember when Elijah... I said, I guess I will preach on Elijah. Do y'all remember when Elijah went before God and he heard the earthquake and he saw the mighty wind and the earthquake and then the fire, and God wasn't in none of them? God had been in those things before, but He wasn't that day. And sometimes we get on our mind how God has to act, as if we could control what God has to do. Sometimes we get in our minds that this is the way that I'll get my answer. And this is the only way I'll get my answer. I'll go do this and I'll go do that, and the church will do this and the church will do that, and the preacher will do this and my friends will do that, and then I'll get my answer, my healing, my peace in my life, my lost ones saved. But the first thing God's going to require of us is humility. And we're going to have to humble ourselves and do what He says. What He says. It might not go the way we think it ought to go. And when we pray before God, sometimes I think we do like Gideon and put out a fleece and say, "All right, if you want me to do this, do that. If you want me to go, do it this way. If you don't want me to go, do it that way." Well, we can't tell God what He's going to do. But we have to be willing to do it His way, whatever it is. And Naaman resisted the humility that's required. The next thing you see, and I want to really get into this if I can. I don't know if I have words to do it. But he resisted the idea that it was his faith that was required. I want you to look what Naaman had faith in. He had faith that Elisha would have faith. Look what he said. He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God. Not the name of the Lord, my God, but the name of the Lord, his God. You know, there's an awful lot of folks, this is an easy thing to do. An awful lot of folks have fell into this trap of, I'll go get the preacher to pray for me and he'll heal me. I'm going to tell you what, I can't heal none of you. And ain't no other preacher can heal you either. There's one intercessor between man and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. There's only one you can go to. And going to a preacher that really knows the Lord won't get you healed. You've got to go. It's your faith that's being tested. Naaman thought it's supposed to be the faith of the prophet that's being tested. That prophet had perfect faith. He just sent out the word of what he was supposed to do. My faith won't heal you. My faith won't bring peace to your household. My faith won't save your marriage. My faith won't save your kids. Your faith is required. If you would have the answer that you seek from God, your faith is on trial. Nobody else, although they may pray to God for you, nobody else is on trial. Your trials are your trials, and my trials are my trials. And oh, I have them just like you have them. And I want to chicken out of them just like you do. But I can't, and you can't. Naaman couldn't. He had to have faith. The Lord his God, as Naaman said, had become the Lord my God. If we're to have faith, although we may go and have someone pray for us, and that's good, and that's scriptural. Although we may go and seek for others to pray and make intercession on our behalf, and that's good, that's scriptural. Still yet, we must pray to God. We must break through our own selves. We must follow Him our own selves. It is our individual faith which is on trial. And not just the faith of others. Naaman resisted that. That prophet's faith ought to be enough. He ought to be able to get this done. But oh no. It took Naaman doing what Naaman was supposed to do. It took Naaman believing. Until he came to the point that he believed he wasn't going to get healed. And I believe this is what stops us more than anything else. Is the idea that we must believe. And I don't just mean for salvation. It's true of salvation. It's something I'm afraid I see frequently anymore. People come down to the altar to be saved. And come down and they'll follow far enough to bow themselves down at an altar and won't pray. And sit there and mumble and won't pray. And if they will say anything, they might say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And that's good. But they won't confess anything with their mouth. They won't say what they need. They won't pray out loud to God for salvation. I see people stumble at that point a lot of times. And walk away unsaved. But you know, I'm afraid I see Christians at that point, including the one in my mirror, we get to that point where we have to believe in Jesus Christ as the answer for our problems. And we're content to have somebody else pray. And we won't do it ourselves. We're content to have somebody come pray for us. We're content. You know, we're even content to say out loud by ourselves somewhere, Lord, help me. Lord, help me with this problem. And call that prayer. Or maybe y'all ain't never done that. I've done that. I've given those short little prayers and been content to call that prayer. Lord, there's more to prayer than that. There's more to prayer than that. It takes something from the heart. It takes the very heart being poured out. The very heart being poured out. It's more than the words being poured out. When you pray to the point you lose track of your words, now you're getting down into prayer. Now you're getting down into faith. and belief. When you can empty out your heart before God. Naaman resisted that. He also resisted, now this is going to get some of y'all. He resisted works. You say, well, works don't get you saved. Sometimes God requires you to do something. And your faith is proven by your works. The works don't cause faith. I know that. It's not what I'm preaching. But if you really believe, you'll do what God says. If you really believe, you'll do what God says. There's sometimes He's not going to straighten out that mess for you until you do something. And if that's true, you'll know what it is. Has anybody else ever been there? Where you knew that God was not going to straighten out that mess until you did something? And if that's true, you'll have to do what He says. Now look, I don't mean something else. I mean, Naaman said there's other rivers. There's other rivers that are cleaner than that one. I don't know why He wants me to go dip in that one, because that's what He said. And you know, if the Lord tells somebody you need to quit that nasty habit, and he quits a different nasty habit, he still hasn't done what God says. And dipping in any old river ain't the same thing as obeying God. He said, go to that one. And if the Lord has a specific thing He wants you to do, that's what He wants you to do. When He wanted me to quit tobacco, and some of y'all have been there, some of you hadn't, and praise God you hadn't. When He wanted me to quit tobacco, there was no peace until I got that done. In the meantime, there was other little things I tried to clean up. And well, that's fine and dandy, but there still wasn't no peace until I got that one done. Whatever it is that God has on your heart for you to do, that's the one you got to go to. That's the river. And if you really believe Him, if your faith is real, you'll do what He said to do. Naaman stumbled at the works that accompanied faith. The works didn't create faith, they accompanied it. They came from it. It was after he believed, he went and did it. And by the way, all the way through, dipped 7 times. 6 times wouldn't do the job. I've wondered sometimes if he saw any results at all off those first 6 dips. I don't know. He might have felt a little bit along the way, and he might have got looking a little better along the way, or he might not have. I don't know. Don't tell me. And you know, if God wants you to go all the way through something, you might feel a little bit better as you go, and things might get a little bit better as you go, but you ain't done till you're done. Am I preaching to somebody besides me, or is it just me in here? Naaman resisted doing those things that he knew he was supposed to do. And resisted doing them the way God said to do them. And can I tell you one last thing, and I'm going to end it after this. What he really resisted was the fact that it was unfamiliar to him. He had a way that he wanted it to be done. He had a way in his mind. And he was presented with something that wasn't familiar to him. He was presented with something that didn't seem right in his eyes. Didn't make any sense. It didn't fit the patterns that he had seen. It didn't fit all the things he'd heard. And he had to go do something that was awkward to him. He had to go do something, by the way, that was going to look strange in the eyes of his servants. He had to go do things that had never been required before of anybody else. It was unfamiliar. And boy, I tell you, that's something right there that the flesh resists. And I'm afraid sometimes we resist God in that we don't want to get out there in uncharted waters. We don't want to get out there where the Lord's going to require us to do something that's different than anything we ever did here before. Nobody else has to do this. Why do I have to? Nobody else has to quit doing that. I don't see a scripture that says I have to quit that. So why do I have to? God. Maybe we might want to remember who we're talking to and who we resist. And if we quit resisting Him, maybe like Naaman, we can come up clean. Because this particular time, the man that resisted did repent of that resistance. He did finally listen. And he did finally obey. And he did finally get the results that came from obedience. I don't know where you're at this morning. I know where I'm at. I'm preaching as much to me as I am to you, I'll promise you. I'll promise you I am. But if there's things in your life that you've been praying to God for the answers for and you don't have any results, would you look again and see if there's something you're stumbling at? See if there's something that you're hemming and hawing and just not breaking through on? See if there's anything, anywhere, that you just don't want to cut loose of or don't want to grab hold of or whatever it is. Is there anything holding you back from having what God would have for you? I believe in a good God. I've said it many times, and I do. I believe that God would heal, whether it be spiritually or physically. I believe that God would help. I believe that God would restore. I believe that God would save. I believe that God would reconcile. I believe that He would pour out blessings upon His people and would do it readily. The problem, I don't believe, lies with God. The problem always lies with us. If there's anything in your life where you know that you've been unyielding, if there's anything in your life where you know you've not been willing to believe what God said to you, or you're just not comfortable with the way that God would have you to go, I just beg you this morning that you would put it before God at the altar and let it go and receive that from the Lord that He would have for you. Do you hear me this morning? I'm not asking you to do something wrong. I'm asking you to do something right. I'm asking you rather to just believe what God has told you. Just believe what He would have for you. Whatever it is you've been hunting for, if you're hunting for something from God, I believe He has it for you. What's holding you back this morning? What's holding you back? What is it? Do you need more faith? Are you afraid to step out in that faith? Are you afraid to believe Him? Would you even put that before God this morning? When I open the altars, I'm not opening it for my needs. I'm opening it for you to address yours. Yours. Would you put them before God this morning? Brother Craig, do you have a song that we can close out with as we open the altars?